Ice water turn Atlantic. Night calling in a phantom. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back. 8 o'clock on the dot. 713-780-3776. So I tweeted out yesterday that an impeccable source says the Raptors and Celtics are the favorites right now for James Harden. It'd be a package for Pascal Siakam and more, or Jaylen Brown and more. It got thousands and thousands.
You're clout chasing. I got thousands of retweets and likes.
No, I did, but I'm not clout chasing. That just happened. Here's the deal: is I'm not saying that he's going to be traded to those teams. All I'm saying is that they are the favorites because they're offering, at this point in time, the best package for James Harden. So he could well go somewhere else. The fact of the matter is, James Harden is going to be gone. James Harden is, I don't know when. Is it going to be before this trade deadline? Is it going to be before? Is it going to be in the next week? Is it going to be whenever? If it's going to be after this year, that's not a good thing. I think it's going to be awfully difficult. For Rafael Stone to do this deal, because hey, your first big deal, you certainly and where you came from the law offices. You didn't come from the basketball offices.
And everyone literally on the heels in the city where Bill O'Brien plied his trade, yeah. And we just went through a list of that. I mean, the DeAndre Hopkins deal looms over everything.
Everybody, yes.
And you don't think that matters? Oh, it matters. Rafael Stone knows how bad that deal was and how bad they got in that deal. I don't think he's going to do the same thing.
No.
I think he's waiting for, because he is going to be judged off of this deal.
You know, he's got that gun and he's like, I don't know if I can pull the trigger on this. I just don't know.
I know.
Is this good enough? Is this going to be good enough? Am I going to? Because the future of the organization, his legacy.
This is your next building. So I consider an organization is like a house, right? So equity, for example, what made Daryl Morey's rebuild of the Rockets so good to me was that if your house loses its equity because it's burned in a fire and you have no, like the loss of Yao Ming and Tracy McGrady, you lost equity. You were able to trade McGrady, but not for dollar value or any more close. So the equity in losing Yao Ming for nothing in return, you lost tremendous equity, and then you had to rebuild from there. He is making a move where he is going to have a new house. And this house, what kind of equity he has in his house now, what the structure of the house is going to look like, is 100% solely dependent on this James Harden trade.
Yep.
This will determine whether they have a chance to take off again or if it's going to send them in a middling future. And, you know, historically, teams who trade the superstar end up at a lesser place.
Yeah.
Historically.
No, you lose. You're not going to be as good. You're going to have to go through some growing pains. You get the draft picks that are going to help you in the future, at which you have no draft equity going forward because Daryl gave it all away. No. This is absolutely going to be. This is so difficult on Rafael Stone. How about walking into this situation that Daryl and James Harden have put you in your first months on the job, that you have to make an organization changing decision on this trade. So. I mean that ain't easy.
You
I mean it ain't
to.
Easy being a GM, but walking into this situation where Tillman wants to win now, and we're used to winning here, and yet you have to get rid of two of the game's biggest stars in a matter of months.
It is a big challenge. It's a big challenge because you have to get as close to dollar for dollar value. We know it's impossible, but if he can get 85 to 90 cents on the dollar, that'd be a hell of a deal for Rafael Stone. Like you said. I really think Rafael Stone doesn't want to be the clown.
No.
You know, because Bill O'Brien was, and it was instantaneous, and he will be judged instantaneously. Even if it ends up being a good deal for the Rockets, he is going to be judged. There's an instant judgment that will be passed on him, and he doesn't want to do something that people say, this guy never was a general manager. He was general counsel. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. I would say that. I'm sitting here wondering what the hell. But up to this point, he's actually, I think he's handled himself better than expected. I really do believe that. Now, I thought, what in the hell are they doing? A guy from general counsel is going to step over and be GM? Oh, my gosh. But up to this point, he's given me no reason to be a, you know, he's all right so far.
Did y'all watch any of the preseason games? Did you see Christian Wood?
Christian Wood looked real. We talked a little bit about it. 24 or was it 27? He looked really good. Somebody asked.
Dude, it's smooth.
Like, somebody was asking who they thought would give his Hall of Fame induction speech. Like, if we had any idea mm-hmm. what that would look like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know yet.
Yeah, I mean, that, listen, I know Kelvin Cato looked great in his first preseason here, too. I get that. For a preseason game, and then he got a $50 million deal.
Interestingly enough, yeah, their money is about the same.
Christian Wood looks like a real deal, man. Christian Wood, and he's going to benefit from not having ball dominators on the floor. When James goes, Christian Wood is going to probably flourish because he's actually going to, well, now James Harden opens up a lot of stuff. James Harden also gets, you know, his big guy, the ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it wasn't for him, dude that went to Atlanta, the tall guy, remember him?
Oh, Clint Capella.
Clint Capella.
Clint Capella made a living off James Harden alley-oops.
See, this is the problem that your eye is okay. Because I could have said, oh, did your human eye tell you that?
No.
Because you like to say human eyes. I think if the Rockets are trading, I'm taking Jaylen Brown and whatever poo-poo platter over Pascal Siakam. I see a bit of duplication with Pascal and Christian Wood. Now, it wouldn't be awful to have two guys with that versatility, but you wing with guards and wings. And Pascal, good player, but Jaylen Brown in his first year like being a main force, went for 20, shot the ball well, just about 33 minutes per game.
So did Siakam, though.
I know, but I just said I gave my reason for not Siakam because you already have a Christian
Wood type.
Well, you
know, James Harden was considered a good player, not a great player when he was – there just wasn't the – you just didn't know. He was in Oklahoma City. Maybe you could say the same thing for Brown
About Jaylen Brown is he comes here. Now, sure, there's John Wall, but in Boston, he was either sharing with another potential superstar wing in Tatum when Gordon Hayward was actually on the floor. That's another guy, Kemba Walker, Kyrie. He would be the legitimate, probably 1A option here, and I think that might help him flourish more, too.
Do you care as much? And I get that, the duplication thing. I want the best player.
I think Jaylen Brown has the potential to be
best player anyway. Yes, yes. He averaged 20 as well. And it ain't easy with all those guys in Boston.
That's what I'm saying. Even Marcus Smart will take the jumpers. Some say, hey, stop taking them. But Marcus Smart likes to get up shots too.
And oh, by the way, his three point percentage was great. You know what? I think you change up some. Although Steven Silas loves to shoot the three, too. So,
yeah.
I mean, but
that'll be part
both guys can shoot the three.
Yeah, I just like the potential of Jaylen Brown. He's a little younger. The deal's actually better as far as money's concerned. The Rockets, I think Pascal's making maybe 10-plus million more. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but he's making a little less. I do like the potential of Jaylen Brown more as maybe your star wing you pair with Christian Wood.
Yeah.
I like the idea of change the scenery, to be honest with you.
I do, too.
I just think that's something that's exciting to me is have a different team to root for. This team's run its course, and the idea of having something that looks a little different, even if it's not as good as it was, at least if you get to reset and start down a new road towards hopefully your end goal, then that's fine. Sometimes you have to go through this.
Yeah. Siakam is making 30 this. I mean, it's not going to take much to hit James's money. He's making 30 this year, 33, 35, 37. Mm-hmm. You got him through 2024, which is nice, and maybe you're able to extend him, whatever. So you've got him long term.
Now, Brown's making 22, so it'd take a bit more, but if the deal needs to get done, they'll find a way.
And he's tied up through 24 as well.
Mm-hmm.
and he is cheaper, 22, 24, 26, 28. So that, you know, and he might be the better player. You're right.
Yeah, I like the potential wings. Like you said, Siakam's really good, was a big part of a finals team. And I don't think you're losing, per se, no matter who you grab, particularly if you compare what you would get extra. But I do like Jaylen Brown's potential to be a star if given the kind of role that he wouldn't get the exact same role James had, but just give him the opportunity to be your lead guy.
So many Celtics fans responding to the tweet that I put out there yesterday, that this is not a Danny Ainge move.
Because he doesn't make moves.
Yeah.
He doesn't make the trade. He's always in the running for the trade, but he never follows
goes down.
Through.
Yeah.
It's all the reports you hear is, man, the Celtics really close after the move has been made by someone else. So right. Danny Ainge actually going in and deciding would be a surprise.
And this one, it'd be interesting. James Harden in Boston, that'd be very, especially, and most people have said that he would retard the growth of Tatum.
They believe Tatum is the next great player.
Yeah.
And maybe they're right. And certainly Tatum wouldn't get the same opportunities.
No. There's still plenty of shots for...
That's true.
That, you know.
But there's some thought that you need the clear one, and James would be the clear one, and Tatum would take a back seat. I'm not sure he wants to, but we'll see. I don't know. I would do it if I'm the Celtics.
Well, see, but that combo, that duo...
And you still have Kemba, by the way, who's has the knee issue. He probably would... It would help Boston overall if... Because Kemba has issues with the knee, and it flares up, particularly in the playoffs it did. You might want to take more of the ball handling duties off of Kemba's plate just because you want him to be ready to go in the playoffs.
And I think James going somewhere else will play nicer than he plays here.
I do too.
Yeah.
I think it's inevitable. Once you go somewhere else, yeah. You're going to put on your best. You want to be, especially, I think James wants to be part of something. Think about this. When James played with the Olympic team, remember what that version of James, he played defense. Like, this was kind of irritates me about James. He has it in him. We've seen him have it in him to be. And it's not like he's a giant ball hog. I think he knows. I think the mandate was, James, we're better when James Harden has the ball in his hands. The PER numbers were, efficiency numbers were off the charts. I don't think James is not a guy who would share the ball. Look at the assist numbers. He would definitely share the ball. It's just sometimes all that, you know, dribble, 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 step back, fire. It's great when he's shooting 3 free throws. I mean, I like that. I like when James is getting to the line 18 times. That was one of my favorite moves. The 17 for 18 was always could fade. You could fade a 7 of 24 from the field when you had 18 free throws and you made 17 of them. But
and a joy to watch as well.
It's not as easy a watch sometimes. But I just think it would be nice to have a more likable. Am I wrong for that? Of just a more likable team. I liked the team 2 years ago. It's or 3 years ago. It's just not as likable. PJ is great. Russ is all right. I didn't have any feelings for Russ, but our Clint Capella's gone. You know, I don't know. I don't have any real emotional attachment to the team because I know. James just isn't a super nice dude.
Nope. Well, in 8-13.
Here's Jaylen Brown is the exact opposite. You can't hear better things about Jaylen Brown.
Well, and that's why. So that's another reason probably Celtics fans are not all that. None. I did not see one positive Celtics fan on my timeline.
Are you serious?
8-13 ESPN. No. 8-13 ESPN. 97.5. 713-780-3776. Whatever you want to talk about. We'll get back into the Texans as well when we get to the other side. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear.
To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
No, I don't know. I feel bad for them just like I feel bad for myself, you know, in the organization because we didn't win, because we're in a win or lose business. But I told them that the way that they fought, because we talked about it the night before, of playing every play and putting plays behind us and then playing the next play. And I thought that they did that today. They came out and they fought and they kept playing and we had a chance to win. And so if they will continue to do that these next 2 weeks, we'll see how it falls out. But that gives us the best chance for them to play hard every play all the way through the game.
All right, that's Paw Romeo after the game, after yet another disappointing loss. I'll tell you this, it doesn't matter. Do they win? Do they lose? It doesn't matter. No. This season, this is a loss season, has been a loss season, will be a loss. That's all. It's a loss season. Deshaun playing well, and this is what it just killed the Jets yesterday. Winning that game got them into the second pick, and Trevor Lawrence now going to the Jags is a killer for the Jets organization.
It really is.
It really is.
You're right. Trevor Lawrence in an extra draft pick looks a whole lot better than Justin Fields in an extra draft pick.
Or another year, Sam Darnold,
well,
Zach Wilson.
At least they have that, though. And Sam Darnold with a good coach, we'll see, and maybe some weapons around him. I tell you the truth, two of the last 3 weeks, they've been the better team on the field. They should have beat the Raiders if it wasn't for Greg Williams screwing that up. And they beat the snot out of the Rams and going back and forth 3,000 miles across the country to do it. So, you know, it's not horrible. And by the way, having Sam Darnold isn't a horrible, rotten thing. Having Trevor Lawrence is better.
Sam hasn't, It's not even a good thing.
Sam
Darnold has done nothing.
With Adam Gase,
I know. Trust me.
Yeah.
Look at the players
who
flourished once he left. Tannehill, Parker, Gesicki, all those guys all of a sudden became players when they got away from Adam Gase.
That's the truth.
If you're a Sam Darnold backer, you just hope, and if you're a Jets fan and you still love Sam Darnold, you hope that he survives the rest of these last two games, and they jettison Adam Gase. I almost guarantee you'll see a better player.
Yeah.
You very well may, but there is nothing that would tell you that Sam, you know, it's not Sam's fault necessarily. There's nothing that would tell you that Sam Darnold is the answer.
Would you have imagined Ryan Tannehill would play well as he's had the last?
And he is the proverbial game manager, and that's fine. And it's true, they don't have any. Frank Gore is their top option. Over there.
Call Tannehill game manager. 31 TDs, 5 picks. In a normal year, when there wasn't Mahomes or Rodgers, he'd be in MVP conversation.
I'm not listening to you.
Look at it.
Fired immediately.
Look at it.
Do we have
31
and he had no.
Can Jose come in?
He had Mahomes' numbers for how long?
31 and 5.
You too? You're trying to get fired?
Almost 67% completion.
Ryan Tannehill MVP.
If he didn't have the Mahomes-Rodgers thing going, look at him. Just what? 10 win season? 31-5? I'm just telling you. Adam Gase is a talent killer.
No, he is.
Obviously.
How
did he fool people that badly?
He made Jay Cutler respectable 1 year. That's about it.
Was that him in Denver?
No. Well, him in Chicago with Jay Cutler.
Yeah. I mean, Jay's best year was in Denver.
Well, was he there too? He might have been there too. I don't remember exactly his time.
No, I don't think he was.
He was with him in Chicago.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And he was okay. And people, offensive mind, Adam Gase.
Let's get Lamont in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Lamont?
Hey, man, I got 2 points. Just me out of the box with the GM search for the GM and the coaches search for the Texans. So many people seem like so many people hold 2021 static and just forget that it's going to be other year. Now, I know the draft situation goes beyond 2020, not the draft, but the cap situation goes beyond 2021. But you know the draft. No, that's only 1 year, and you know, to be honest, this year I'm not really sure. I haven't even really paid attention to college like that to see if I'm not trying to make no excuses or anything like that. But I'm just saying, I think we're too focused on the draft in terms of 1 year. I think after next year things get better in terms of the draft. Now the cap, that's a whole different story. John, I got to pick a bone with you, man. Because you're just automatically assuming that Jacksonville is going to do the right thing. We've seen that the Jets didn't even do the right thing yesterday. Dumb teams do historically dumb stuff, man. And I wouldn't put it past Jacksonville to go out there and draft something stupid and pass up Trevor Lawrence.
No.
That's all I have, fellas.
There is zero chance, Lamont, zero chance they pass up Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
They don't have a quarterback. And Trevor Lawrence is sitting there at number one. Come on, Lamont. Even I don't care how stupid that organization is.
How devastated.
There is zero chance.
Here's the last two. Ready? Bears go to Jaguars, which is the Jags do have a chance to win that one. I mean, if they
The Bears just beat try. The Vikings, beat the snot out of the Texans.
But the Bears
are playing better.
Bears
football.
Have a chance.
The Bears
to
are 7-7 now. They were 1-5. They're 7-7.
Yeah, no. They are.
There's zero chance the Jags beat them.
No. The Bears weren't 1-5. The Bears got off to a great start.
Yeah, we're 5-5.
It was the other way around. And then they lost 5 in a row.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
They had a run of 1-5. Yeah. So the Bears actually have just righted the ship. But the last game is Jags at Colts. And there's a better than average chance that the Colts and Titans will be scrapping for playoff spot/positioning. So I don't see the Colts taking it easy in their last game. And I do think the Bears is an interesting one. My guess is the Bears are going to be about a 7-point favorite on the road. If I had to guess, I'll look it up. But I do know this much, that when you're talking about the when you're talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars, well, think of this. The Jets fans had to be decimated, right? To lose the idea of Trevor Lawrence, just like when Dolphins fans had the whole tank for Tua.
There are zero Jet fans that were happy about the win yesterday. Zero.
Literally, has to be.
Literally zero.
There can't be any Jets fans. Like, in the organization, I don't even know if the organization was thrilled.
No. Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know.
No, maybe not. No. No, you're right. No.
Because the organization, their best chance to win, like, was the GM happy they won? My initial assessment is yes, because those guys, they don't want to be winless.
The players were happy, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I Joe Douglas doesn't want to be a GM over a winless team, a zero-win team.
Bears,
but he also wants to be the GM
Colts
that has...
In the final week.
Yeah.
At the Colts, the Colts are still going to have to play for positioning. There's no chance that the Jags win another game, and there's zero chance that they don't take Trevor Lawrence.
I think there's a chance they could end up right now. Yeah,
the only reason
Chicago's 7.5 at Jacksonville. I think there's a chance Jacksonville could win that one if they don't catch a bunch of COVIDs this week.
No, Bears
Miles Jack COVID. We got a COVID on DJ Chark. COVID on Gardner Minshew.
Did they have COVID this week when they played the Ravens? They seem like they played like they had
They played
COVID.
Like they had COVID.
They have COVID hangover. Listen, they're not beating the Bears and they're not beating the Colts. They're just not. So the Trevor Lawrence is in this division now. You live with it. You've got Trevor Lawrence. You've got the Titans that are playing really well. You got the Colts that are playing really well. Even Big Philly's playing well, so you got to give it up. Once they get a quarterback.
You got two teams who will mash you, and you definitely don't stop the run. And then you have what, the best prospect since Andrew Luck?
Yeah.
The future's bright.
And by the way, the Jags are not, they're not devoid of talent.
No. Whew. The future's bright.
The future sucks.
No, I was talking
and about, you got no draft picks.
I was
this
talking
year.
About the Dolphins' future because I'm looking at Tankathon.
Oh, you're doing that? Okay.
If the Falcons could win a couple games, I'd have a top four pick. Right now, it's six. The Falcons and the Panthers won't ever win games. Win a game, blowing a lead to Brady again. Embarrassing Falcons. 24-0, they blew a lead.
The Dolphins were embarrassing yesterday.
What? Run for over 250? Yeah, that was really embarrassing.
They
what? What?
It was a close game. The Panthers suck.
Whatever. Just run the ball. You could pull a Justin Herbert and be terrible.
Oh, can we?
And get shut out.
By the way, when we against get back, them? Can we talk about if the Colts might have their quarterback of the future? And it might be somebody familiar to Frank Reich. When we come back, we'll talk about what Carson Wentz did yesterday, what got out yesterday, according to Adam Schefter, which I thought, wow. Carson Wentz, really? And so we'll let you sit on that one for a second because we could now have Carson Wentz. Is it the good one, the bad one? But he could end up being in the division as well. It's 8:26 here on the bench. And I know that your favorite thing, John, are lances. You love lances.
Lance
Blanks.
Lance
you love Blank. Lance, Lance me.
Lance, the one that was in... The
James
kids, the dancing kids and singing kids.
What? Yeah, the dancing and singing kids.
You mean
kids?
He's talking about the dancing
Oh, Lance
and singing
Bass.
Kids.
Yeah, Lance Bass.
The kids the dancing and singing kids.
Like in the quarter?
Yeah.
With the with kids? The bottle caps on the bottom of their shoe.
Yeah.
Tap dance.
Lance
Bass.
You mean
Lance
when
Bass.
You're in Spain and they're dancing for coins? What do you mean the dancing and singing
dancing
kids?
Dancing and singing those kids.
In sync.
Well, okay. But my favorite Lance right now, sorry, Lance. My favorite Lance is Lance Loken. Todd and Letitia. They needed, their family was grown. They needed a bigger house. 2 days on the market, 27 showings, 11 offers, $5,000 over list price. And here's the deal is you find a house that you want to buy. You find that house and you're like, well, we can't buy it because we got to sell our house first. How about this? The buy before you sell program. You want to move on your terms. Buy before you sell. It makes it possible for you to move when you're ready and take the time you need to sell your current home for the best possible price. Or you can get the immediate cash offer. They always make an immediate cash offer at the Loken Group. They're the best as far as it's not even arguable. Keller Williams Platinum Group, they're number one in Texas, number two in the world for Keller Williams Platinum. And you will love them. I love them. They're the only ones that you should call if you're going to sell or buy a home. Right now, all you need to do is call the Loken Group. And I'm telling you, 15 days on the market for the Loken Group, your home, 51 for the average seller. 281-861-4624, 281-861-4624, or the Loken Group, L-O-K-E-N, thelokengroup.com.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 830 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. So you believe that Carson Wentz... Is it a possibility that he's a Colt?
Well, let's start first with Carson Wentz apparently has stated that if he is going to be a backup, he wants to get traded. Now, nothing makes me happier than a guy who's played bad football making demands when he's under a contract
million.
That greatly compensates him. You are under contract. Be quiet, Carson Wentz.
Well, how about that Doug Peterson wouldn't... I'll make my decision on the quarterback during the week.
What? Hey, this is the deal. Carson Wentz has played poorly. He has been a big problem. He's been one of the big problems for the Eagles. Sorry. I mean, it is what it is. Carson Wentz right now needs to just be quiet and play because He is under contract, and he has played poorly. It'd be one thing if he had played really well, but he's like, if I'm not going to be starter, I want out of there. What? You're not playing well. People aren't going to want you. But here's the deal. SpotTrack came out and said, basically, based on the way his formula is structured, they could trade him and only take, you know, a $10-plus million cap hit. So it's possible to trade Carson Wentz if you're the Eagles. It's possible.
Hurts,
if you can get out from under that contract, wouldn't you be considering it?
Hurts threw for 338 yards yesterday, and he ran for 60-some more. And he won't commit. And then the week before, he beat New Orleans, and he won't commit to him because he doesn't want to hurt Carson Wentz's feelings.
You got
to
do what's best for your team right now. And Carson Wentz, you know, you think he's got the better long-term future. Fact is, Jalen Hurts came out and played well. The fact is, Carson Wentz is playing poorly. He's not even making basic throws to open guys. It's a results-driven league, and you're not producing any results.
Does he need Frank Reich?
That's what I wonder. So my thought is, if you could deal him and the Colts need a quarterback, the Colts could kick around the idea of giving up a pick or two for Carson Wentz and reuniting him. That's a lot of money, but they have a lot of cap space. Reuniting him with Frank Reich. And that's where he played his best football, when Frank Reich was his quarterback coach and play caller.
What do you give up for Carson Wentz right now?
That's the thing. There's so much money that's owed to him with his contract.
Yeah.
If you're the Colts, you might give up a second, and that's just a nod to him being a quarterback and how important a position is. But, like, I'm sure that the Eagles would want a first for Carson Wentz.
Guess what? You get out, you dump that contract? You do it right now for a second.
If you're the Eagles, okay, if you're the Colts, what if you said, okay, we'll give you a first and you give us your second?
That wouldn't be so
bad. That's not even good value for the Eagles. Let me say this. Let's say you give up
a first, and the
Eagles give you a four.
What's the difference? There's only like seven slots. The difference between the Colts first and the Eagles second.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not even any kind of a value. But what if you said, okay, you give us your fourth, and we'll give you a first for Carson Wentz?
No, I'm not doing that if I'm the Colts. Listen.
You got to take on that contract.
You're a guy who can't play. You're taking him off your hands. You know what the Colts should do? Hey, I saw Rick Smith. He gave up a second for Brock and gave the Cleveland Brock
Osweiler. That's actually a great point. Like, here's the deal.
We're taking all that money off your hands.
So we're going to take all that money off your hands. We'll give you a third.
Yep. We're taking all that money off your hands. You give us a third.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it should be.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what it's going to be. Eagles wouldn't do that. But
listen, you take any
chance. But Carson Wentz also has injury backgrounds, too.
Yeah,
you're right. You couldn't possibly give up. That's what a desperate team does. The Colts don't strike me as a desperate team.
No.
They're going to potentially win the division with Phillip Rivers.
Listen, there's going to be a good quarterback available to the Colts. It could be Zach Wilson. It could be...
Zach's gone early.
Zach Smith.
But you could trade up. It could
be Trey Lance. You don't know who's going to fall.
Their window is...
Don't forget, Lamar Jackson was the last pick of the first round.
The Colts' window is now. The Colts could make a very aggressive move and try to move up for a quarterback this year. Because here's the thing. If Andrew Luck were there, it would be the Colts and the Chiefs would probably be the two top teams and maybe the Ravens. But the Colts with Andrew Luck, this is their time. They're built to win right now for the most part. You just don't really have a quarterback who can really fully take advantage of T.Y. Hilton. But honestly, now's the time for the Colts to do something aggressive. I don't know that that's smart, though. The Wentz thing... I do think that Frank Reich probably thinks he could get Wentz better and get Wentz right.
Yeah, I bet he does.
But man,
you know Ballard. Ballard ain't giving up no first or second.
He's not gonna panic.
No way.
He wouldn't panic and do that.
No way.
I mean, they'd be better off with Phillip Rivers for another year.
Yeah,
potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, potentially they'd be great with Carson Wentz. But this is now Carson Wentz has been so bad this year that you just can't forget what you're seeing. It's not something you can just brush away like, maybe this isn't who he is. He's lost all confidence. He is a guy who has some injury concerns in his background, and he's owed a ton of money. I mean, you're right. Honestly, you tell the Eagles, look, we'll take this money off your hands, but we're not giving you value for Carson Wentz. We're just not doing it. You guys can take a chance that he's back to normal Carson Wentz next year.
Yeah. Nope. No chance. No chance they give up. And you know what? Because you're taking all that money on.
I'll tell you what. Now, if Jalen Hurts keeps playing well, it's gonna increase the desire for Philadelphia to get out from under that contract by any means necessary. Because that's a ton. We're talking about is he into the $30 million per year range for his contract? I mean, he's paid a ton of money, Carson Wentz. He's owed a ton of money. And it's not just for, you know, a couple years. Carson Wentz, from a salary standpoint, his salary is going to run. He's not going to be a free agent until 2025. Now there's a potential out after 2021. But that's still a lot of money. It's still dead cap space of $24 million after 2021. So realistically, you actually get a savings after 2022. So 2 years. What does 2 years of a bad contract look like? I'd say it looks like, if you're aggressive, a second rounder. If the Colts really were to believe in him, and I'm just using him as an example, they could go, you know what? If we don't think we did it after 2 years, let's give a second rounder. And if we miss, we miss. Well, a second rounder. If we think we got it good, then we get Carson Wentz and his, you know, and his cap slot is $36 million. And that's what it is, minus whatever the signing bonus was. So it's really closer to their cash space would be, their cap hit would be at $36 million. So actually theirs would be less because of the signing bonus. They wouldn't have this. So their cap hit would be $33 million. If you get a good quarterback for $33 million, so be it.
Yeah.
But after 2 years, I think it's worth the risk for the Colts for a second round.
Quarterback.
He has been, but he right now, no, he's a bad quarterback.
He's a bad quarterback.
He's a bad quarterback right now. Right now, he's a bad quarterback. It's on the tape. You can just watch the games. It's bad. He can't throw accurately.
It just reminds you of anything. For some reason, this is like Doug Peterson won't name a starter, even though it's clear Jalen Hurt, he doesn't want to hurt Carson Wentz's feelings.
What does it remind you?
Wasn't there another situation like this where they wouldn't name a starter because they didn't want – in college, did this happen with – the Major Applewhite, Chris Sims thing was
– Yeah, it was kind of a weird deal where Major was clearly the better player, but Sims was the higher recruited, and you didn't want to – Mac was a little nervous about – yeah. And you remember Chance Mock was ahead of Vince for a while.
Yeah.
Where Vince couldn't get on the field because of Chance Mock, and he came in and rescued a game against – as a freshman, rescued a game against Texas Tech.
And then he was off and running.
Maybe he's a sophomore, but I think he's a freshman.
But there's other situations that have been like this where it's obvious. Jalen Hurts is the guy right now. Jalen Hurts gives you a better chance to win.
You just got
to
give yourself the best chance to win. You're actually playing for a playoff spot.
That's a guy. That's a local guy right there. He's better than I thought he was going to be. He and Kyler Murray. I got to give it up to those guys. I mean, I didn't think there was any chance that they'd play well. Kyler Murray is still playing some good football. You know, the Cardinals aren't ready to be an upper echelon team yet, but they're 8-6. They're, you know what?
What about the freight train momentum that the Rams were building until yesterday? The Rams were like, oh man, the Rams have a chance to be the team out of the East. The Rams are, I mean, out of the NFC, the Rams are really building momentum. Then you get beat by the Jets. And by the way, you were being dominated by the Jets.
No, they were dominated.
You were losing 20-3 at one point. You're getting dominated by the Jets.
I think they went into that game, and guess what's going to happen when you take it lightly? That's a pretty good lesson for them. I still think the Rams are a good team, but Jared Goff is too up and down. So, I mean, they put pressure on him yesterday. Were you watching in that game?
Yeah.
I mean, it was
a little bit. I watched the second half.
It was like, holy crap, did he look bad? And just put pressure on him, and dude is going to. It was as bad as they looked against the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Mm.
That's how bad they were
in that first half. That's pretty bad.
No, that's how bad they were in that first half. And this was the Jets not the Patriots. This was the 0-14 Jets, not the Patriots. 0-13 Jets, not the Patriots. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here on ESPN 97.5 if you want to get in. We got some more college football. Let's get back to college football on the other side right here. Don't you go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You like the Aggie matchup against North Carolina? I would have liked to have seen
them. I think that's a great matchup.
I would have liked to have seen them against Oklahoma or
Texas?
No. I guess North Carolina might be the. I mean, isn't Iowa State? Is Iowa State better than? I mean, I would have liked to have seen them in against a better team than North Carolina. North Carolina's too up and down.
North Carolina's got a great running game though. Well, now their guys could opt
great
out.
Running game. Did you see? Okay, guess who's the first?
Sam Howell too. You get a good quarterback. Like, yeah. I think that's a fun matchup. I think it's a contrast of styles.
Been too up and down.
Yeah, but it's still let me tell you something. That's a tough matchup for A&M. That's a really good offense. That's a really explosive offense.
Oh, I think it, yeah.
Now, it depends on if Green and A&M's, Williams.
What do you think the
you
line
could
is?
Have both running backs, by the way. I'd say A&M is probably six.
Five.
Yeah. No, that's a good game. Now, Green and Williams, going to Kyle Pitts opted out. Here's where all the opt-outs happen. These bowls are going to be decimated. I think some bowls won't go, won't play, and I think the amount of opt-outs is going to be unbelievable. I think guys who are going pro, over half of them won't even play in the bowls this year. That's my guess, because they don't want to go through protocol, and they'd rather go start getting money from agents and start working towards that.
There's only 300 guys across the country that are, and we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I don't predict doom and gloom like you do. First team, Pro Football Focus, first team quarterback.
I mean, are they going to do something real slick, like give us a Boise State quarterback or something? Who? So it's a real quarterback? Oh, okay. Well, if it's just the opposite, then it would have to be your first teamer would have to be it's not Trevor. Oh, it's going to have to be Kyle Trask.
Mac Jones.
Okay.
Mac Jones, Zach Wilson second, Kyle Trask third, Spencer Rattler fourth. But Spencer Rattler, I'm going to tell you this, after a slow start, played really well. Yeah. Running backs. This is something I don't know that we've ever seen. We might have seen it once.
Do they have Patterson from Buffalo?
Nope. They got Javonte Williams and Michael Carter, both from North Carolina.
NC, yeah.
You might have seen that with Auburn. Remember Auburn back in the day?
With Brandon, the big old banger.
Cadillac and Ronnie Brown.
And Ronnie Brown.
Oh, Cadillac and Ronnie Brown.
Yeah. Cadillac and Ronnie Brown.
Mm-hmm.
That
Pro Football Focus wasn't in existence then.
Yeah. And Najee Harris was second team, along with some other guys. Obviously, Devontae Smith, first team. Elijah Moore. Isn't Elijah Moore the one that lifted his leg?
He is the one, if you missed the Egg Bowl, from last year.
Yeah. That is the same guy.
Yeah, Ole Miss was driving for the tying touchdown, I believe, and he scored, lifted his leg. As a dog peeing, they got a 15-yard penalty, and the kicker missed the extra point.
Right.
So they lost
the game.
Yes.
Which wasn't as good. Worse that or throwing the shoe?
Well, they went on to throwing lose to Bama, but that cost them a shot to enter that game. Well, to be honest, how much did it cost them? If they would have beat Alabama, wouldn't they have been in the playoff? Would they have been in the playoff?
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, they would have passed Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Alabama, they would have passed Notre Dame.
But they weren't going to beat Bama.
Well, then.
And the shoe throw didn't matter for beating
Bama. That's what I'm saying. It didn't matter. So I'm saying, what did the shoe cost them? If they lose and it sucks for Dan Mullen and his record, but if they would have beat Alabama, which in it.
It's a two-loss team that would have gotten there.
Yeah.
They absolutely. If they beat Bama, they would have gotten
there. Yeah. I think it's the Elijah Moore thing. It cost you a rivalry game.
So and then there's a bunch more. I'm not going to go through them all. But there are a bunch of games that are really, really interesting. What about you, Oklahoma State and Miami, Del?
A lot of it has to do with who wants to play. Who Oklahoma plays. State, how many opt-outs from Miami's losing their top
two
wins.
You think Tylan Wallace and Tevin Jenkins will stay?
Tevin Jenkins already opted out.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Chuba's gone, we know, but he wasn't even the best back this year.
Tylan won't stay.
Yeah, it all depends on who wants to play in the game.
Yeah.
Do we know? I mean, like I said, Miami's
Both your defensive ends opted
out.
That's what I'm saying, John. A lot of these guys are just going to be gone to start working. Like the best prospect in that whole thing was the right tackle from Oklahoma State. Travis. He's a good player. Yeah. He's a good player.
He ended up second team.
He and Wallace and Jalen Phillips would be the three best, then followed by probably Chuba and then Quincy Roche.
I don't know that Chuba was even their best. He wasn't their best running back this year.
I'm just saying of the guys who are going to be. Yeah, how about that? I had Chuba nailed last year. I thought he was a fourth rounder when I saw him last year, and that's about what he's going to be this year.
That wouldn't be a bad pick for the Texans in the fourth.
No, I like him. He's a zone back. He's got good pace. Like I like him. He's solid.
He's fast.
He's solid. Yeah, he was. Well, he didn't always play fast, but he was a track star in Canada.
Yeah,
he was a legit track star
in Canada.
Yeah, that's good. That's like being the top cornerback in New Jersey.
It's like Danica Patrick winning a race in Japan.
Why does he have to go to Danica Patrick?
He's not a good person, that's why.
Tell me about that's like Sarah Fuller kicking an extra point against...
Two extra points.
No, she kicked two extra points. That's wonderful. But Danica Patrick won a race in Japan. You ever seen...
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Does
Kyme Fairbairn always... No.
Yeah.
I feel that stereotype coming a mile away.
Uh-huh.
Do you
stereotype?
Does Kyme Fairbairn always
that race? Is what I was going to say.
Let me ask you a question: does Kyme Fairbairn always make his extra points?
No.
Does Sarah Fuller always make hers?
Yes. Okay. That's all.
Who's better?
I'm going with Sarah Fuller.
If we want to avoid John stepping in it, we can go back to guys missing. Like Chuba Hubbard clearly didn't opt it out. LD Brown didn't play in their final game either. They're running back, so they had to start a new one. Tylan Wallace missed the final quarter of the game, so who knows? Who will play and who won't play?
It'll be interesting to see. Cincinnati and Georgia. Georgia's playing.
That game doesn't excite me.
Well, with JT Daniels, they're playing better.
And this is a Georgia team who wants to certainly set up for next year. And if JT Daniels has another game, you'll see Georgia.
Well, let's see if they show up this year. They're another one that could face a bunch of opt-outs with their entire defensive line could opt out.
How about
Georgia's?
How about OU and Florida?
It'll be... It's funny you in, going.
Pitts
into the
game, is out.
OU has the better defense.
Tony will be out. You don't think Tony will play, do you? Tony got hurt against LSU and kept playing.
Kyle Trask play?
I think so.
Probably.
Kadarius Tony, God, is he good? Man, you got four really good wide receivers again this year. Devontae Smith, Kadarius Tony.
I'm not sure how fast Tony is, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's
you
the
think
way
he's
he
quicker
runs.
Than fast?
I think he's quicker than fast. I think
like a DeMarcus Robinson was?
But he's smaller.
Yeah, Tony's smaller.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what he runs. OU's defense will be the best defense in the game.
Yeah.
Which is a surprise when you talk about the SEC defense. I don't know if they'll fire Todd Grantham before that game.
Well, that's not saying much because Florida defense sucks.
I don't know if they'll fire Todd Grantham
before the game. But he's going to get fired. He's probably going to get fired anyway, but OU's going
to
get him fired.
Yeah.
They have sucked. They've been a bad defense.
Yeah. They've not been good.
Central Florida and BYU?
Where is that being played?
Not bad.
In Boca Raton?
Boca Raton?
I mean, if you like that sort of thing. If you're into that.
That's a good game. Liberty and Coastal Carolina?
Ooh, now that's a fun game.
Yeah.
They've got kind of a secret quarterback prospect over there that could come out.
All those guys will play.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would hope so. Liberty's got a couple prospects, so does Coastal Carolina.
We were talking about it. It's an informative tweet. Matthew tweets that like Elijah Moore and Marco Wilson are from the same hometown. They didn't play on the same team. Elijah Moore played for St. Thomas Aquinas, which is a big school down there in Florida, and Marco Wilson played for American Heritage. But yeah, same area, and they did really dumb things.
Yeah. They're not that, but their school system.
Apparently,
you got to question their school system.
And those are both private schools, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Yikes.
St. Thomas is a Catholic school? Yeah.
Yeah, some pretty good games. And then the honestly, this is the one year that you should just play the championship game. Notre Dame and Alabama is going to be, and frankly, I think Clemson and Ohio State is going to be a blowout.
Ohio State, we'll see if they get back
their guys. You think Clemson blows out Ohio State?
Clemson blows out Ohio State.
Oh, I don't know.
I do.
I wonder how big of an effect now. Just
remember, Olave didn't even play.
Olave didn't play. Browning didn't play.
Barrett Browning. Yeah, they had COVID. They got hit by COVID in this last game.
Yeah. We'll
and see. Justin Fields has a, you know, remember this is a rematch from a really good game last year where Fields basically his receiver stopped the route on him and he threw an interception. That was a really good one too. You know, everybody will be, no one's opting out for, I mean, if you start opting out in playoff games and college football's over. But Travis Etienne had a big, like he started making a name for himself catching a ball in the backfield in a postseason, and that's what they did a lot this year. So I'm with you, though. Alabama and Notre Dame does nothing. Alabama A&M, for me, because I know how A&M is eating up clock, I'm telling you, it would have been a much more interesting matchup because A&M is being clock gobblers now with the way that – I got to be careful. Yeah. I said clock gobblers.
Clock, yes.
What so they're clock gobblers.
I don't know why he said gobblers.
Why gobblers?
Because they gobble up the clock.
Well, you could have just said they
– Well, I don't want to do this anymore. No. That's really
– I can just
– They eat up the clock.
I can just clean that up.
I don't want to just say clock, the time. They're time of possession machine.
Yeah, I don't know where I would play it, but I could easily edit out the L in that.
You can't.
I can the sound, yes, I can. It's not that hard.
It's called a consonant cluster for a reason.
Clock.
It's clustered.
You could actually.
I couldn't play it.
It'd be
a tight edit.
Yeah, it wouldn't be sound great. I couldn't play it anywhere, but I could have it.
Did you hear what the radio guy in Houston called us on the air?
It's the same thing.
I said you guys are the masters of time of possession.
It's the same.
What I heard. It's the same thing. The horns have been calling us for years.
How about the horns?
The excitement level for the Aggies to be in the playoffs.
But before the Aggies don't belong there. It was like,
people who supposedly don't care about each other, those two teams care about each other a lot.
It's
a lot.
I don't care. We moved on to the SEC. We don't care about the Aggies. They're the doormat of the conference. We run the Big 12.
You guys care about each other. You're the exes who all y'all do is stalk each other's Instagrams. That's all you do.
Oh, my goodness. Jeremy Pruitt from Tennessee had Alabama 1, Texas A&M 2, Clemson 3, Ohio State 4. I'll tell you what.
Because he saw A&M up close.
He saw him up close in that last game. A&M is playing good football. 856 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. Back to the Texans on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
MattBets.com is live. Stay up to date with betting guides for this week's NFL and college football action. Or check out SportsMattBets research tools and keep the lead in your fantasy league. SportsMattBets.com has all the info you need to make the best play.